Music interviews start. All right, everybody, welcome to the interview portion of the show. I've got a very special guest today. I've got an artist, Shay. Shay, would you mind introducing yourself and just a little bit about how you got started in music?
Yeah, my name's Shay. I am from Texas. I got started in music when I was a sophomore in high school. I think I started recording. So that was maybe like 1999, 2000. I'm telling my age. But yeah, I started recording from there. I started like getting into like singing groups and stuff like that and recording. And then kind of when I got out of high school is when I started exploring, you know, doing a lot of solo recordings and, you know, still working with groups and, you know, all that other stuff. But I started doing R&B, and then as I started evolving and becoming more free as an artist, I kind of realized that pop was in my wheelhouse, and that's where I thrived the most in doing pop and dance music. So it's been on from there, and I've just been doing a lot of writing for other artists, producing, and just kind of just, you know, I'm still working on things, but that's pretty much where I'm at now. Just a pop dance artist that just wants to do music about being free, like being sexually and free to party and just free to be yourself.
That's amazing. And do you remember like the first moment you realized like, hey, I want to make music, when you were younger, when you were a kid?
Absolutely. So when I was younger, I started singing in a church choir when I was in school, and I was kind of like, I don't want to say like the lead soloist, but, you know, I did, you know, I led a lot of songs, you know, in my church choir and stuff like that. And that's kind of how I developed my love for music. And then just one day, a friend of mine encouraged me, you know, to book studio time. So I booked studio time, you know, at a studio. And it was kind of like, it wasn't a professional studio, but I had this group called Project Soul. And we started recording a song, re-recorded. It was such a terrible song, but it was a song called Battle Cry, and then we did a song called Hearts Melting and like stuff like that. So I can remember way back then, you know, those song titles, but hearing us recorded for the first time is what really sparked it. And ever since then, I was addicted. I was all in.
That's awesome. And do you remember like your first few influences getting starting out like with music? Like, was there a couple of artists you're like, I liked the way that sounds, I want to do that?
Yes. So I had kind of like a brother to me. His name was Andres. And before I started getting into church choir, I heard him sing for the first time, and it just, his voice just really inspired me. I don't know where he's at in the world now, we lost touch, but he was a mentor of mine growing up and getting into music, and just hearing him and hearing his recordings, you know, and I would even go to his church sometimes and, you know, sit up there and watch him sing, and he just really inspired me to do the whole music thing. So I wish I could say it was like a celebrity or like a mainstream artist, but it was really him that made me want to record, you know, and that made me want to be an artist. And I wanted to sound like him. I wanted to be like him. Yeah, he was definitely my inspiration for all that.
That's awesome. It's really cool when I hear that. Like I have like, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. They have like friends or family members that they see doing something, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. Like, I want to do that too. I think for me, yeah. It was definitely like watching my other peers just kind of like develop the same time I was. And it was like cool to have like a sense of like musician community growing up, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it. And I mean, that's, you know, that's the way to start it out. You know, having somebody physically in front of you, I mean, that you admire, that can actually like mentor you, like for real, for real.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It does.
And so you were saying you started out in like a sophomore in high school. That's kind of like when I remember starting out too. And I just remember like starting out with back in the day, you're like making CDs, you know, and now we're like twice removed from that. So like we had CDs and then we had like downloads and MP3s and all that. And now we're on streaming. Yeah. And a lot of people, a lot of people that listen to the show don't even know what it's like to walk into a store to get a CD, you know, which is crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. 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 Definitely crazy.
Do you have like a, an album that you remember picking up like back then and you were like super excited to listen to it and you had no idea what was going to be on the album, but maybe you heard one song?
Space Jam soundtrack. Space Jam soundtrack.
That's a good soundtrack.
It would have to be that. And then you know what? Brandy's first CD.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I think that would have to. Yeah, that would have to be it.
Yeah. Nowadays you could just like click a button and just hear it, and you could decide if you want to listen to it again. But like a lot of people don't remember. Like you would just go in and be like, "I heard this on the radio. I'm gonna pick it up." And like maybe sometimes it'll be like one good song and nine trash songs. You know,
and you're stuck with it.
You're stuck with it. You made a commitment and you could like trade with friends maybe, but they don't want it either because they heard it too.
Yep.
Oh, so just kind of switching gears for a second. We were talking about a little bit before the show, like over email, how or text, that you had some music that was lost. You had an engineer that unfortunately passed away. Could you talk a little bit about that story? Just kind of like, because I feel like there's probably a lot of people that could probably relate to that.
Yeah, of course. So when I was younger, I think when I started seriously recording, I was about 18 years old, and I had this engineer named Bobby Mercier, rest in peace. But you know how you have those engineers and you can just walk in the booth and you don't have to give any kind of direction. You know, you can just walk in there. They know you like the back of your hand. He was just that guy. And he recorded with me. It's about 20 years. Over that course of time, I recorded maybe it had to have been close to 300 songs. And the crazy thing is I never put out an album, never anything, because I was never satisfied with what I did. You know, I always wanted to go back and correct something or fix something. And I never put anything out into the universe. And then it just so happened a few years ago, he died in a motorcycle accident. He died in a motorcycle accident. And of course, you know, he had a wife and daughters, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, she sold the equipment, you know, his wife, you know, she wasn't knowledgeable, you know, in studio stuff, you know, as far as she knew, you know, she had to do what she had to do, because all of a sudden she's left with, you know, like two daughters to raise. And, you know, so the equipment was just lost. And then, you know, along with that, you know, my music with it. So just before the blink of an eye, 20 years worth of music, like almost 300 songs is just, it's gone. And at that time, you know, I stopped doing music and I was just like, well, you know, like I have things to do and, you know, I'm getting too old, you know, and, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm marketable anymore, you know, so I'm happy to have, you know, my little, you know, my library of music stacked up, you know, so I could just have that and just be content, you know, with that and just continue on with life and, you know, everything's fine. And when I lost all that music, it just shook me, because I'm like, I have no legacy of music anymore. It's all gone. You know, there's nothing to look back on. You know, I didn't have any files backed up. You know, everything was just gone. So, you know, over the course of time, you know, I just thought to myself, I have to get my musical legacy back. And I went online and I was looking, you know, for studios, and I found my new engineer, Vinny Beats. And I went and I met with him, and we had like a consultation, and I recorded my first song with him called Frequency. And when I heard the finished product of Frequency, I was just like, I found my Bobby again, and I am going to put an album out. I'm going to do music, and I'm going to be so unapologetic and do everything that I wish I would have done. And I'm going to be the person that I wish, you know, I would have been, you know, when I was recording, you know, my music, and use all this life experience and, you know, everything I've been through. And I'm going to make the most bomb ass album, no fillers, every single song's a single, and I'm going to pump it out, and I'm going to put it into the universe, and I'm going to do things right this time.
It's crazy how like a lot of things happen that are outside of your control, like that can just affect your career, that have nothing to do, that have nothing to do with like you as an artist, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I feel that too. I had a, I guess like my audio engineering mentor, you know, he passed away, and I didn't have that same close connection that you're talking about, but I remember, what that was like. We had an intern at a studio in Houston, and, had the head engineer and the owner was like super cool. And he, you know, I would want to check in, you know, and then I felt like I get too busy, and then I come back and it's like, oh, Ernie and Jeff, like they passed away, you know? And so like, I just want to say like, for people listening, like, you know, I just released an episode. I know this is going to come out way later than the, you know, the content that I put out, but like when, in terms of like networking and just like making these relationships, I feel like people just need to cherish them more than they feel like they need to, you know, because musicians are troubled people in a way. Like we like to live life on the edge, or we take risks and stuff. And I had a buddy of mine that who was in bands, and he had like an addiction problem. He was trying to get healthy, and like you would give anything to like get those people back. Not even for like, you know, having the music, your music available, or having your, you know, it's more about like having that person around, you know? But I think that's, it's important to like, you know, to like what your approach, which is like taking a bad situation and using it to the best of your ability to make something out of it that is in your control. Like you're coming out making really great music, and we're going to play some after the interview for those listening. Your music is, I can tell, very focused and very, like you're saying, unapologetic. So you hear that in the production, and you hear it like when people listen to the track, I feel like they're really going to understand that. It's going to be like, you know, it's with intent, you know, you're coming out with intent, which is amazing. And I wish more people would grab on to a purpose outside of themselves, like what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And can I just say, while it's on my head, I think working with the engineer and picking an engineer is a very, like, it's not something to be taken lightly. Like your engineer is like an extension of you, you know? So I think, you know, when people do music, it's very important to select somebody, you know, that, you know, you do vibe with, it's somebody that you do connect with, because it does show in the music. And Vinny is accidentally, he is an extension of me when I walk into, you know, that studio and record this music. And it, and, you know, I think everybody needs to have that relationship, you know, with their engineers when they do select them to work on their projects.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And a lot of people nowadays, with technology being so easily available, you can walk into a guitar center or go shop on Sweetwater or whatever and just pick up some gear. And there's kind of a lost art in like working with an engineer, like what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I agree.
It does pay off a lot. And so I feel like a lot of people don't have that, that like process, like they don't understand it because they don't see it. Could you like walk through the production process you have with, you said Vinny, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you walk us through that? What's that like when you walk into the studio? What do you guys work on?
So, do walk into the studio, of course, you know, he warms up all the equipment, you know, while, you know, everything is, you know, getting set up, you know, there are shots involved. and the consumption of alcohol, you know, of course, you know, I don't get tore down or anything, you know, but, you know, I do still have like a lot of inhibitions, you know, so like, I like to help drop that, you know, before I get behind the microphone, you know, so I will, you know, we'll get in there. A lot of my production I already have. I do work with a producer named Knobs, and he's from New York, and he does like a lot of my production. So, you know, we'll load the beat up, and then he'll have me, you know, do a couple of takes of everything, you know, and he, one thing that he always does that nobody ever told me to do is to actually perform when I'm behind the microphone, you know, not just, you know, sing, but like to emote. And if you gotta, you know, wave your hands or, you know, do whatever, you know, do it. Nobody's watching, you know, but whatever you can do. He always tells me he needs to get the best performance, like not the best, you know, recording, but the best performance, you know, so that definitely helps me out, you know, so when people listen to my music, I just want them to know that, you know, when I'm recording that music, you know, I'm tipsy and I'm dancing behind that microphone, you know, because I want everybody to feel, you know, what I feel like in that moment, you know, so we have a bunch of different takes, you know, and his ear is just incredible, you know, so I do use a hint of auto-tune, you know, in my music, you know, I'm getting older, you know, and my voice isn't, you know, it's not what it used to be, you know, so there's a lot of things I can't do a lot of things I used to do, you know, so he does, you know, correct some things and stuff like that. But we have both the songs that I put out, they're songs that we both just knocked it out the fucking park on it. And Frequency and Fuck the DJ, when we heard those, we both knew that they were hits. And then even on Fuck the DJ, that's him rapping on there. That's him doing the rap verse on there. Yeah, that's him.
That's awesome.
So he was like, I got to get on this song, you know, so I'm like, do it. You know, so our recording process, we just vibe off of each other, you know, and then when I leave that studio, I trust everything, you know, in his hands. And I know that, you know, what he gives back to me, you know, I'm about 8 songs in on the album, you know, and I have like 6 more to go, you know, but everything he hands back to me is just stellar. And I'm so excited.
That's amazing. I've got a lot of tips out of that myself. I feel like that's a really healthy mindset. And again, one of those things I feel like is lost, like in the production process, because we do so many things nowadays, like remotely, and it's really hard. Like, because music is about like communicating with others in a way. So it's like, you can really kind of lose some of that, like that vibe and that feel if you're shooting things across the internet, as opposed to being in the room with somebody, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. Totally. I agree 100%.
And I love performing behind the mic. I think that's amazing. That's such a good tip. Like, I hope everybody listening really kind of takes that and like really uses that tip. That's a great tip.
Yeah. I mean, he's incredible. So that's one thing he definitely gave to me that I use so much now. And I'm a horrible dancer. You know, so I'm glad nobody's there to see it, but I am giving some interpretation, you know, of dance or movement or whatever the case may be.
I love that. That's awesome. That's amazing. So I just want to shift gears, because I always think these questions are very interesting for people, getting different perspectives on the music industry and stuff. But so we talked about a lot of challenges in the music industry. What do you feel like? Because you're pretty far into the production process. You're far along than most. You've got music out. But what do you think you would say in this part in your career, where you're at releasing music, what's the biggest challenge you have right now?
So the biggest challenge I have right now, it just has to be, I have 2 of them. One of them is time. I do have a career now, you know, and just getting the time to do it. It's crazy, because I have to fly to Mississippi to record with Vinny. So he's not, you know, he's not here. So I have to book the flight and get the time off and, you know, make sure I'm there, you know, and, you know, make sure, you know, I can pay this man. And, you know, I just feel like there's not enough hours, you know, in a day. And that, you know, there's times I have to be like, Vinny, I can't come this month. It has to be next month, you know, or whatever the case may be. And I just wish, you know, that getting to him was easier. But, and at the same time, I can find another engineer, but I'm not going to split my project between two different engineers. And especially, you know, cause I just think I think it'll just throw the sound completely off. And I just want to do this project with Vinny because I can't imagine doing it with anybody else, you know? So I have to make the time, you know, and I have to pay the money to be able to do it. And then the second thing is stop being a perfectionist. And of course my lesson was learned, you know, with my first engineer, but don't be a perfectionist and put it out into the universe, because I guarantee you what you don't like, 10 people will like, you know? So, you know, sometimes what you feel is not good, somebody else thinks it's amazing. So, you know, and some people hit, some people miss, you know, but it's important to just, you know, put your music out, you know, and, you know, share it to the world and just push it out there.
I love that. That's such good advice too. So this is kind of a fun thing. I know we're going to listen to your track, but it's always good hearing it from the artist. So your music that you're making right now, if you had to compare it to an animal, what animal would it be and why?
I would have to compare my music right now to a jaguar. All right. And the reason being is because my music, it's sleek, it's sexy, it's dangerous. I think it's beautiful. And I think it'll attack you head on, you know, once you get to that space, you know, where, you know, you've had a couple of drinks and you want to be free, you know, like I would imagine my music would be that thing that'll embody that. So yeah, Jaguar.
I love it. And it will make you dance too, just in case you're wondering. So when we play it in a minute, you're going to want to dance. So I love that. Goodness. I don't know what animals dance, but that's a good, I love that. None I love that. Yeah. So here's a question. If you could have lunch with anybody in the music industry, like dead or alive, right? Who would you want to have lunch with and what would you want to ask them?
Roger Call is my absolute like music icon right now. I don't know if you know who Todrick Hall is, but he's another fellow LGBT artist. He started doing like YouTube parodies and making like actual productions out of them. And then he started doing like full on, you know, music and music albums. And I remember when I watched, he has this, it's like a music video movie. And it's called Straight Out of Oz. And it's him using all his pop music and blending it with like the Wizard of Oz and making a full on production out of it. And that just completely blew my shit. And like, and then he did one called Forbidden. I would encourage anybody, you know, to check those out. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And right now, like his model is what I'm looking at. And I got the privilege of being able to see him live last month here in Austin, and I cried during the whole thing. but he is just my absolute, like, he is my absolute icon right now. So I would just like to sit down with him and pick his brain and just, you know, get advice, you know, on his hustle, you know, and see, you know, how he makes his music and the things that he does. It would definitely be Todrick.
That's amazing. Now I feel like I need to go check out this artist, which is great.
You do.
I need to.
You do.
I love that. I love like the transmedia thing people are doing where they're putting their music into other mediums and stuff, which is super awesome. Yes. You know, I think that's super important these days where, you know, you can win over your audience, but you know, when you start getting to those a fan base, like someone who wants to follow you and participate, like going out and making things like that will just set you apart, which is amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's do this because we got to wrap up and then I want to introduce the track. But this is my favorite question to ask.
Okay.
If you were to give advice to someone who is just deciding to start making music today, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to their music with many styles and do as much trial and error as you can until you figure out who you are as an artist. I think a lot of times we have to listen to ourselves do, you know, multiple things, you know, and say, yes, I like this, or, you know, no, I don't like this. And just keep going, you know, until you figure out what your sound is. Because I think in order to make like a cohesive project, you know, you have to know what your sound is, and you never know until you try and try many different things and just keep going. It's an expensive thing to do, you know, because you got to do your production studio time. But, you know, in the long run, just figuring out who you are as an artist and then being able to say, this is me, this is my identity, you know, this is the kind of music I want to put out into the world, and just take off from there, you know. So it would have to be find your identity as an artist, you know. Don't just, you know, have a, you know, clusterfuck of things, you know, that you want to do, you know, and have things, you know, come out sounding a mess. You know, figure out who you are and you'll make your best music by doing that.
I love, that's such great advice. That's amazing. So let's do this. I want to introduce your track. Actually, I'll have you introduce your track and then we'll go ahead and play it. And then we'll move on from there. But Shay, would you mind introduce this track? What's it called? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yes. So this is the second single that I put out. It's called Fuck the DJ. And I did the title to be kind of off-putting, you know, so when you hand it to a DJ and they're like, fuck the DJ, you know, like thinking it's an insult, but it's actually the best thing possible. This song, it's a pop dance song. It's euphoric. I have my engineer that I was talking about, Benny, he's doing the rap verse on it. And this song is just about, you know, getting in, you know, in the club and just feeling, you know, so good and, you know, letting everything go and, you know, saying you feel so good, you wanna fuck the DJ because he's just making you feel like so good, you know, on the turntables. This song was actually recorded. I shit you not, we were done in about an hour, less than that. And I went in there, I knocked it out. It was all first take. I went in there with my phone notes and I knocked the whole song out like in less than an hour. And it's an absolute hit. And I cannot wait for people to start hearing this because it's amazing.
All right. And we're going to hear it right now, everybody. So this is the track Fuck the DJ by Shay. Hope you enjoy it. It will be in the description. The link will be in the description if you want to check it out. So make sure you add it to your playlist. Shay, thank you so much. I'll have you back on the show anytime. This has been a lot of fun
to come back. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, here we go. We're going to play the track and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Damn, it's hot in here. Wanna give myself the night that I deserve. Bass is loud and clear. Wanna drink until my liver goes berserk. Cause you make me feel like sex. You're doing something to me. So what, I just can't understand it. The way that I'm faded just might be more than I can manage. Get that transition and put me on another planet. I think my life is safe. And I feel so good I just might fuck the DJ. Get it going, baby, I know you can do it. Cause I'm intoxicated by the music. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ.
You know it when I show up, slick as fuck, baby, just like you know it. Sip your cup, sweetie, we about to blow up. Get that, baby, you already know what. Drop your bass so I can move to your groove. Baby, move that waist and I'ma pitch it to your tune. On the ones and twos, doing what a dude normally do. Swear you're looking too cute like cool. Hey, place is jumping, while the bass is pumping. Everybody on the dance floor basically fucking. When the vibe is right, we just living the life that everybody wanna live. We gon' live it tonight. So intoxicated to the way that you drop your bass. I swear to God, I can feel my face. Put your hands in the air just one more time and give it up for the DJ tonight. Come on, let's go.
Get it going, baby, I know you can do it. Cause I'm intoxicated by the music, and I feel so good I just might fuck the DJ. And I feel so good I just might fuck the DJ. Inside out, just let me have it. You mix those wants and twos, it feels like magic. Cause damn, I'm in the mood, and it's all because of you, oh baby. And it feels so good, I just might fuck the DJ. Get it going, baby, I know you can do it. Cause I'm intoxicated by the music. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ. Get it going, baby, I know you can do it. Cause I'm intoxicated by the music. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ. And I feel so good, I just might fuck the DJ.
Hey, thanks for watching this clip from my podcast. If you're interested in downloading my free music industry strategy guide or being a guest on the show, check out musicadvice.io. Don't forget to subscribe and make music every day. Peace.